Hello and welcome to the first Mooney Goes Wild on Monday nights of the new year. We should begin by saying Happy New Year. It's the 5th of January. Happy New Year, Aina. Happy New Year, Niall. Happy New Year, Richard.
Happy New Year, Derek.
Happy New Year.
In unison. Aina, how are you getting on?
I'm getting on the way I always did. One foot in front of the other.
New Year's resolutions, Niall?
I've already broken all of them. How about you, Derek?
Yes, to stay on air. Richard?
Yes, we've got through the first quarter of the century. Now we're entering the second quarter of the century. I think in quarters because time passes so quickly as you get older.
Does time pass faster or does it just feel like it?
It only feels like it. It's relative, as Einstein said, but he was thinking in a different context, of course.
Do you remember when you were waiting for Santa to come or when it was going to be your birthday next year?
I'm still waiting for Santa. My birthday's in March, Aina, in case you're wondering.
No, indeed. But I mean, when you were little, it took forever and a week was so long. I was talking to my grandson before Christmas and he was saying the good things and the bad things. And the good thing was that he had an advent calendar he could open every day. And the bad thing was, and it was so long before Santa would actually come, and it was a whole 2 weeks. I mean, for him that was an eternity because he's only four. But I mean, when you're 44 or 54 or like even us 64
or this year 59,
the thing that the percentage of the time is much, you know, is different, much smaller. So by comparison, the time goes much quicker when you're older.
Anyway, enough about Christmas for now. We have a voice note to start the new year, and this comes from Fionnuala O'Connor.
Good morning. My name is Fionnuala O'Connor and I'm just wondering if you would be able to help with a query. I'm living on the edge of Naas. We have a garden full of birds as we feed them all year round. But our query is, could we possibly have woodpeckers? We've noticed this damage, for want of a better word, to a 30-year-old flagpole cherry blossom in the garden, or could it be possibly squirrels? I've sent in some photographs and I'd love to know if you could help me figure out what caused it. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much indeed, Fionnuala. We've had a look at the photographs and the cherry blossom looks like somebody was at it with an axe, I have to say.
I think damage is exactly the right word. It certainly is very damaged and it does to me look exactly like the handiwork of one or more woodpeckers, great spotted woodpeckers. We know that they are in the Naas area. They have been spreading up from their stronghold in Wicklow. They're now quite prevalent in parts of Kildare, and so I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're in the garden, probably looking for beetle larvae, things like woodworm, those kind of things in the wood, rather than excavating a nest. This is sort of too messy and too random looking for it to be excavating a nest cavity. It's actually all about trying to find food.
Yeah, it's quite a small tree. I mean, it wouldn't be big enough for a nest cavity as such. And it's just an area where it looks, you can see the holes in it and the bark has gone in a little square, like a big square, but it's just in that one area rather than all over the tree. Other things that could affect trees would be deer itching their heads against the trees when they're getting their new antlers and the velvet has to be rubbed off. But that would be scrape marks all over the trees. Squirrels, when they attack trees, because obviously they don't have nuts all the year round, they're looking at, they strip the bark off the branches, they might eat the buds, and they can damage trees by taking all the bark, but they wouldn't make holes in the actual timber. This thing has things like 6-inch nails when they do it. You can see the holes. I think it looks like woodpecker damage as well. They have great bills and they can really hit the tree hard.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't go right around the tree. The important part of the tree is in the bark. That's where all the activity is. It's eating, kind of exposing the dead wood inside, and older trees tend to be even completely hollow inside. So although it looks terrible damage, it's not actually all that serious. This is a coppiced tree, I think, because the two of them are coming up from the same root. And it will survive despite this and without any doubt.
Oh yes, absolutely. A lot of that dead wood inside a tree, that's the way many trees have evolved to be. If you look at something like an oak tree, by the time they get to about 600 years old, they're pretty much hollow in the middle. It's rare you'd find a tree that old in Ireland, an oak tree at least, but they get hollow in the middle and they'll live for a long time after that, and then eventually when they do die, they decay over the course of at least two centuries, providing all sorts of homes for all sorts of invertebrate life and fungus and everything. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, the growth area is just under the bark in the mm-hmm. cambium, and that particular area puts cells to the outside, which are the bark, which is where the food comes down, and the ones to the inside are the phloem, and they're the timber ones, and that's where the water goes up. But that timber then is dead. They're only little pipes, little tubes. So as they get, they put new ones out all the time. So there's the ring around the tree, that's the living part. So a bit of it is not going to, but if the whole thing is encircled, then it's a goner. And this is not the case with the cherry blossom that we've looked at there.
Mm. All the storms we were having recently, a storm could hit it. A wind coming from the direction of in which you have the damage, the tree is weaker. It could easily snap at that point. It's hard to see. It could happen. I don't know.
What about the poor old woodpecker? This is the great spotted woodpecker, Niall. Yes. Didn't it first come into Ireland, or first spotted in 2006 up the north of Ireland, as I understand it, and it's moved away. It's moved around.
Simultaneously in County Down and in County Wicklow
at the same time. Okay, yeah. 2006. But how come, after slamming its head against the wood all the time, it doesn't do brain damage?
Well, it's really quite remarkable. It's really incredible natural engineering going on. Natural selection has produced this perfect wood chiselling machine, because we know they're hitting those trees at supersonic speed with the front of their face. So just imagine that. So what happens is, first of all, they have their brain is encased in sort of a liquid around it that acts like a shock absorber. They have ligaments in their neck that are very elastic that help to absorb the shock as well. And they're much stronger in terms of their bones, particularly in their beak, than we would be in our faces, so they can withstand it. But if you think, when you see a woodpecker drumming on a tree, which is their version of a song that they do mainly in the springtime and into the early summer.
Do females do that as well?
They do, to a lesser extent, but they do it as well. And females will excavate, as we've seen in this garden in Naas, to exactly the same extent as the male, looking for food. So they're pounding that very, very hard. Mm-hmm. And it's just because of the shock absorbing mechanisms that their brains don't get damaged. If we did it, we'd be killed instantly. It's just amazing. Literally at supersonic speed when they're hitting those trees.
And then other creatures then take advantage of the holes made by the woodpecker, things that couldn't make the holes themselves, are not averse to taking advantage of the holes to eat other things out of it. And
oh yes, absolutely. And also to use the nesting holes to nest in themselves. Some members of the tit family will do that, some members of the flycatcher family, but also bats will roost in those holes as well. So in areas where you have high densities of woodpeckers in mainland Europe and in parts of Britain, you also tend to have better populations of bats and more diversity. Maybe that's something we'll start to see more in Ireland as the woodpecker
becomes
more
common. So could you call it then a keystone species?
You absolutely could, and an ecosystem engineer.
Is there any evidence, Niall, that they select certain trees? If you were going to make holes in trees, certain trees would be much more amenable to having holes made in them than others. So there should be some kind of selection going on in which they're heading at one particular type of tree, probably a conifer, than a broadleaf. Is there any evidence of this?
Very much so. They do seem to prefer pine and spruce when it comes to building their nests. I mean, beggars can't be choosers, so they'll take what they can get. We also know they have been using electricity pylons quite a bit as well, and that's a sort of a growing issue around parts of Ireland.
You mean wooden poles?
So they do that. That's a common thing.
They're nearly more telegraph poles now at this stage.
Well, yes, indeed. Those pylons, they have those, and so they do that. But also, we know that when it comes to make the sound, that the drumming sound, they're not trying to actually penetrate the wood. They're trying to make as loud a noise as possible. But they want the most resonant piece of wood that they can find. So they want to find maybe a hollow log, often quite high up, so the sound will carry further. And the aim of that is to make that drumming sound spread as far as possible, not to penetrate inside.
Wonder, did they go around like fellas with tuning and forks trying trees?
Well known.
Do you know what the hardest timber in Ireland is?
Sorry, Aina. Can you hold the second part of that thought? You said, oh yes, they do. I was joking, but
of course they do. Yeah, they'll go around and they'll test, and a little test.
Do they?
The resonance on this tree, that's not so good. Go over here. And we know that even in some cases, I don't know if it's been recorded in Ireland, but certainly has elsewhere.
How
in
do
Europe.
They know?
Well, they hear it. So they hear the sound and how far it carries. And a male who doesn't,
because Niall.
Yeah.
You can't be in one place and know how far something has carried if you're not in the other place.
Well, you can. You know if you're shouting or if you're whispering. And so, we're here in the radio studio, you know from the system.
Well, now, do they use the same tree for both? Yeah. After all, you could find a very good drumming tree, but it wouldn't be so good.
That's Aina, by the way. That's
Aina hitting a bottle for some reason.
You see people at weddings or whatever, and they want to draw attention, and they hit against the glass. They don't hit against the paper cup. They don't hit against the table. So they know the sound will travel better. So, I mean, if we can do it with our poultry ears, why wouldn't they?
You don't need to hit a glass. You just need to start talking and everyone will stop.
Well, if I were you, I'd take that back pretty quickly now, Niall.
I mean, it's the start of a new year.
My resolution is to stand up for myself.
I want to ask Niall.
You'll be sitting down pretty handy.
Does he know what the hardest tree in Ireland is, and is there records of any woodpeckers hitting those kinds of trees?
I don't know what it's the hardest.
The hardest tree, interestingly, anyone discovered this relatively recently, unfortunately, Toshi Dimi here, was the Elm, the elm tree, because the pigsties, when people got county council cottages long ago, they got a half an acre and they got a pigsty, which they kept their pig in. But the door of the pigsty had to be made out of elm because the pig could eat its way out of any other timber. But the elm they couldn't eat. I mean, I come from a rural area where people did have these pigsties on part of their houses. So, like, keeping a pig was something that I grew up with. So, I mean, people told me this, knew what they were talking about. And there were plenty of elm trees then. It was before Dutch elm disease. And we didn't have woodpeckers in Ireland. But I just wonder, in other countries where the elms are presumably equally hard, do they ever hit elm trees? I just wonder. I just thought.
Well,
so
we do know that Dutch elm disease had benefited the woodpeckers, at least temporarily in some areas, because although the elm wood itself would be too hard for them to bother with, not necessarily because it's hard in itself, but it doesn't really, a living elm doesn't really host many burrowing beetle larvae or anything like that. But when the disease killed it off in big numbers and it started to rot and then started to be colonised by all these different larvae, then they did. So it became a benefit. So for a short period of time, all these decaying elms really...
I thought I turned it off.
Oh, Richard's phone has just gone off. You might just say Happy New Year to them, Richard, and we'll move on.
That's not his New Year's intention, obviously.
But yes, so when those trees are decaying, then that's when the woodpecker will go into them and attack them. So woodpeckers, there's three main reasons, therefore, that the woodpeckers will drum or tap on trees. One is to make a loud resonant sound that acts like its song, so it's defending a territory, attracting a mate. The second is to try and find food, like beetle larvae that are buried in that wood, and often dead wood is great for that. And the third is to excavate a nesting cavity that they nest in. And for that, they want something a bit more solid. Pine is particularly good for that, a living pine.
Elm is a very durable wood, used in the construction of mills and all things like that. Anything that you needed something very strong for. And to introduce a rather gloomy note, coffins were made out of elm as well, because they would last longer in the ground, sort of thing. So
why would they want them to last longer?
Well, you'll have to ask them that, but I'd like to go fast.
And they used to varnish them with shellac, not with polyurethane. I remember when we got our house, 50 years ago, and we, of course, had barely any money to do anything. We were scraping off all the stuff ourselves and exposing the timber. And there was this terrible shellac on the newel post, and the stuff we had for dissolving polyurethane didn't work on the shellac, and it all came out. And we used to go to the pub afterwards, and there was a fellow in the pub who was a carpenter, or he was a tradesman anyway, and we were giving out about this shellac and how we couldn't get it off the newel post and how it was much easier with the polyurethane. And you know, the shellac was an awful thing. And he pulled himself up to his full height and he said, "Would you polyurethane a coffin?" Shellac was what you put on a coffin. And this was the highest accolade. So between the elm wood and the shellac, you got very decent in those days.
This conversation is positively funerary.